The day, God willing, we're going to look at one of the Psalms, Psalm 110, a psalm which our Lord Yeshua quoted, Psalm 110. It's not a long psalm, so I'll read it all. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside, therefore he shall lift up the head. May God bless that portion from his word. It's verse 4 in particular that we're going to consider this morning. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. This is a messianic promise made by God the Father to Yeshua, his son. And he's appointed the highest place in heaven and earth, and the supreme glory that our Lord Yeshua obtained was that of an eternal priesthood. We're going to divide up this psalm. First, we're going to look at what are the credentials of a high priest. Messiah is designated as a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. We're going to look first at what are the high priest's credentials in God's word, and we'll go from there to the credentials of Melchizedek. Next, we'll look at the credentials of Messiah, and then the priesthood of Messiah. First of all, let's look at the high priest's credentials in God's word. The high priest of Israel was one that was appointed by God. In Exodus 28, verses 1 and 2, we read of God's appointment of Aaron to be the high priest. Exodus 28, verses 1 and 2. Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Itamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. High priest was appointed by God. Another necessary credential was that he was to be a member of the tribe of Levi. And out of the tribe of Levi, the family of Kohath. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. And the sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Itamar. There we have the tribal descent of the high priest. It had to be from the tribe of Levi and the family of Kohath. It was essential that their genealogy should be clear, that they had an unblemished genealogy, and their age also was essential. They had to be able to prove that they were descendant from the previous high priest, and that they came, that they were members of the family of Kohath. Death opened the way for a successor. When a high priest was chosen, he remained high priest until the day of his death. High priests were also ceremonially consecrated. And we read in the Torah of the procedure to install the high priest of Israel. The high priest was also appointed as the mediator for the nation of Israel. He was the only mediator. In Leviticus chapter 16, we read about the procedure on the Day of Atonement. And in Leviticus 16, verse 17, the emphasis is on him to be sole mediator. There's always just the one mediator. Leviticus 16, verse 17. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. There was only one high priest, and there's only one mediator. The high priest was also to be the teacher of the law of God, of the Torah. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 33, the parting blessing of Moses on the tribe of Levi. Deuteronomy 33, verse 10. They shall teach Jacob your judgments and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and a whole burnt sacrifice on your altar. They were to teach the nation of Israel God's judgments and the nation of Israel the law. The word for law is Torah in Hebrew, and it means more than just legislation. It includes the whole scripture of God. The word Torah means teaching, and our Bibles we can call Torah. So there was the responsibility of the high priest. He had to be a teacher of God's judgments and of God's revelation, the scriptures that he has given to us to feed our souls. The next credential of a high priest was that he had to be compassionate and caring. In the case of In the book of Samuel, we read about Samuel's mother-to-be, Hannah, who had no children. And when she wept and made supplication to God, the high priest of the day, Eli, said to her, "May the Lord grant you your request." He was compassionate and caring, and he bestowed a blessing on Hannah. Those are the high priest's credentials. Appointed by God, member of the tribe of Levi, definite genealogy and definite age, priest all his lifetime, ceremonially consecrated, sole mediator for Israel, teacher of God's word, and compassionate and caring. Those are the credentials of a high priest in the Torah. We come now to the credentials of Melchizedek, because the promise in Psalm 110 was that Messiah was to be a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a high priest in the days of Abraham, Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20. In Genesis 14, we have an account of a war that Abraham waged against four kings, and he returned victorious from that war. And we pick up the account in Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he, Avram, gave him, Melchizedek, a tithe of all. The name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. He was also King of Salem. Salem is the same root as the word shalom, so the title could be King of Peace. He was king in Jerusalem, so the Messiah, when he was designated as a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, included his ruling over Jerusalem. Another of the credentials of Melchizedek was that he was a priest over all the sons of Adam. Aaron was priest over the sons of Adam, of Abraham. But Melchizedek and Messiah, who is going to succeed him, is going to be a priest over all men, over all the sons of Adam. Melchizedek was a priest in his own right. He had no need for genealogy or date of birth to qualify for the position of high priest. He was a king and a priest at the same time. Greater than Abraham, because he was in a position to bless Abraham, who had the promises of God. The less is blessed of the better. And the fact that Melchizedek could bless Abraham shows that he was superior to Abraham by virtue of his office, by virtue of being high priest. So much for the credentials of Melchizedek. We come now to the credentials of Messiah. God says to Messiah, "The Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In other words, he'll be the blesser of the people of Israel. He would be a king of righteousness. He'd also be the king of peace. In Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, Jeremiah 23, verse 5, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Adonai Tzidkenu." Messiah would be a righteous king, a king of peace. He would reign in Jerusalem, and he would be priest over all mankind. That is the fourth verse of Psalm 110. "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." He didn't need to prove his genealogy or his age. He was a priest in his own right, appointed to bless the nations of the world. The next heading is the priesthood of Messiah. The priesthood of Messiah is different from that of Aaron, in keeping with the new covenant. Aaron was high priest over the old covenant. Messiah would be high priest under the new covenant. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Jeremiah 31, from verse 31. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." He's a new covenant. He's a priest of a new covenant, appointed by God, not of man, mediator for his people Israel, teacher of God's law, compassionate and caring. Those are some of the similarities between the high priest Aaron and Messiah, our high priest. under the priesthood of Aaron, the law was received. There were temporary sacrifices, descent from Levi, subject to mortality, sacrifices from animals, consecrated but without an oath, and entering into the holiest place of all just once a year. Earthly ministry, a ministry that was impaired by sin, because the high priest, the descendant of Aaron, was a sinful person, just as all human beings. The messianic priesthood, on the contrary, under the messianic priesthood, the law is written in the heart, as we read in Jeremiah 31. Temporary sacrifices were replaced by one eternal sacrifice. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is the mandate of Messiah. His descent also was from the royal family of Judah. Messiah was to be an immortal priest, and himself the sacrifice for his people, for the sinner, installed with the divine oath, and not entering just once a year into the presence of God, but always in the presence of God. In Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Always in the holiest, and bringing in everlasting righteousness, as prophesied through Daniel, that when Messiah the Prince came, he would bring in everlasting righteousness. His ministry would be a heavenly one, and he would be a sinless person. In Isaiah 53 again, and verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. There's only one place in the whole of the Bible where this phrase occurs, my righteous servant. And that refers to the Messiah alone. He is God's righteous servant. Under Messiah, we have a new and a better covenant, an immortal high priest, an everlasting promise, a heavenly sanctuary, a heavenly altar, a divine mediator, and a divine king. All the essential elements of high priesthood are preserved and made and permanized, made eternal. So we have looked at the credentials of a high priest in God's word, and in particular the credentials of Melchizedek, and how Messiah obtains those credentials for himself and has an everlasting priesthood. In all those scriptures that we have looked over, has not been one from the New Testament. All those scriptures are from the Tanakh, and we probably thought in our minds that it was Yeshua that Psalm 110 was speaking of. It was, but the proofs are all to be found in the Tanakh. We come to the New Testament confirmation of this messianic promise. A verse, a psalm that was quoted by Messiah and by those who followed him and served him. The Lord Yeshua was born from the royal tribe. He comes with royalty, just as Melchizedek was a royal figure, so is Yeshua, our Messiah, a royal figure. The new covenant, the Brit HaChadashah, chapter 1, verse 1 says, the genealogy of Yeshua, Mashiach, the son of David, the son of Abraham. There is his royalty pointed out. He arrived at the set time. Daniel chapter 9 gives us the details. Daniel 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Messiah would be cut off after 69 weeks. Messiah was also without sin, and therefore he could be termed God's righteous servant. God said to him in Psalm 110, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Yeshua is at the right hand of God, and he is declared to be the royal high priest of mankind. No one else but Yeshua fulfills these specifications. He will return one day to make his enemies his footstool. In verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 110, the Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He'll be judge of this world. And a blessing is promised to all those who look for his coming. Acts chapter 9 and verse 28. Sorry, that should be Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9 beginning at verse 27. And as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this the judgment, so Messiah was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. That's the blessed hope that animates us, that cheers us, and that is close at hand. Sometime, any day, perhaps today, Yeshua will come and he will return to receive his people back to himself. 1 Thessalonians, for a closing verse from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Yeshua, who delivers us from the wrath to come. In these uncertain days, the darker the scene becomes, the brighter the hope shines, and we look up and lift up our heads because our redemption is drawing nigh. Shall we pray? Our loving Father, we thank you for your everlasting love to your children. We pray for the soon coming of our Lord Yeshua, and may he shield us and guard us in these troubled times. We thank you, our times are in his hands. We thank you for this golden promise in our Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.